This is an Animal Planet podcast. For Animal Planet, I'm Will Johnson, and I'm here with Dave Salmoni, Animal Planet's large predator expert and host of Tiger Week, a five-day block of tiger programming. It kicks off Sunday, November 4th, with a never-before-seen version of Living with Tigers. Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Will.
All right. Well, let's jump into this. First of all, I have to ask, because I know other people are asking as well, is Tiger Week basically like Shark Week, only with tigers?
Yeah, I guess to some degree. You know, everybody loves Shark Week, and I'm hoping everyone's going to love Tiger Week. It's a week that's, I'm hoping, sort of gears people into why we love tigers and why we need to keep them around, and maybe bring up some of the passion I have for the animals and you know, let everybody else sort of feel that same thing. And then I'll try and secretly, you know, explain why we need to do some conservation out there.
All right. Well, tell us what we can expect to see on Tiger Week. Tell us about some of the highlights.
You know, we obviously kick the week off with my favorite show is the new reversioned Living with Tigers. And it's going to be fantastic. But you can just expect all week just the big beauty shots, just to see how amazing this creature is. But then we're going to go right to the heart and explain to everybody that these animals, although very dynamic and very big part of our culture, could be wiped out in our lifetime, and we need to do something about it.
All right, so Living with Tigers premieres on Sunday. Tell us, let's talk more about that. The original version of Living with Tigers premiered in 2003. What can we expect in this new, never-before-seen version?
You know what, this version was more a focus on my journey and the tiger's journey. This was, you know, it was a big thing for me. It was a very life-changing event for me. So part of it is for me to explain how important it was to me. And then it was, you know, the other side of it is still the story, you know. How big is this to Ron and Julie, and how big can this be for tiger conservation? So, you know, it's us being able to write in some of the parts that really meant something, which I found obviously comes in time. You can really see in time what it really did mean, what it does mean, and, you know, what we can take from it.
And the show focuses on tigers in South Africa, right?
Absolutely. It was my project of me taking two captive-bred tigers to South Africa to try and build a conservation model for Asia. Africa was and is protecting their big cats. And, you know, there's a nice African gentleman that's in the film who had the idea of saying, hey, look, if we can do this over here in Africa, you can do that over in Asia. So he felt if he was to build a park, you know, with tigers, they bring you know, decision makers from Asia over and say, look at guys, this is how it can work. And your tigers can, you know, live for as long as you want them to live in a wild natural state if you do it this way. And that was where I came in. I had the job of taking these two tigers and saying, look at the whole world, all kinds of people have been trying to teach captive bred tigers how to kill and fend for themselves out in the wild. It's never been done. But do you think you can do it? And, you know, I was maybe naive enough to believe that I could.
Well, Dave, this sounds like a rather unique approach to conservation. Has it met with much controversy?
You know, anytime you take an exotic species and try and, you know, introduce it into, you know, somewhere where it shouldn't be, it's going to definitely be met with tons of controversy. You know, we tried to explain to people that, you know, we were building the ecosystem. We weren't taking an existing ecosystem. We were trying to explain to people that this exotic species would not invade an ecosystem because we would have it fenced off. But yeah, for sure, anytime you're doing something new, I think there was a lot of controversy just around the fact that, hey, you can't do this. We've already tried. You know, quit being so naive. And why are you focusing people's attention on this type of conservation when we've got a conservation project over here that we'd rather people focus on? So there's a lot of, I think scientifically speaking in the tiger world, there's a lot of people trying to keep their domain, keep their territory. Anytime you're the new guy in the block, you're going to get attacked. So we got attacked at all angles from a controversial point of view. But I think with that, mean, you know, the old saying is, if you're not shaking people up, you're probably not doing anything new.
That's right. All right. Well, what about, let me ask you, what's the most difficult aspect of trying to introduce captive-born tigers into the wild?
Definitely it is teaching them how to hunt. These guys are taught by mom. Mom knows how to communicate. Mom has the instincts on how a tiger is supposed to hunt, already knows how to hunt, and just has to convey that to their cubs. You know, as a human being, I was a trainer and a scientist, but you know, never before have I ever said, hey, you know, let's learn the intricacies of not only how a tiger hunts, but how then I can teach another tiger how to do it. So, you know, there was no textbook. No one had ever really been successful at it. So definitely the process of, okay, I know how this animal's supposed to do this. Now how can I teach these two young cubs how to go about hunting?
Now, in the program, the names of the tigers, it's Ron and Julie, right?
Absolutely.
How attached did you get to Ron and Julie? Has it been hard sort of
letting
go?
Yeah, probably more attached than was probably healthy. You know, they're probably two of the most important things that ever happened to me. And, you know, you get attached. And I was 5 years out there by myself most of the time. You know, yeah, there was a lot of time there was film crews around, and there was a lot of time, you know, John, who's also in the film, was with me. But there's also a lot of time that I was by myself, just two tigers. There was, you know, a nine-month period where I never really saw anybody else. It was just me and two tigers. And these tigers you've taken from, you know, 3 months old to 5 years old, that 5 years of my life, it was sort of 24 to 29. That's a big part of a young man's life. And I think, you know, that's all I had. That's all I, you know, I moved 1,000 times, as you'll see in the film, and I had a lot of different things thrown at me. But the only consistency in my life was these two tigers. So, you know, of course I would love the tigers anyway, but the fact that all this chaos was in my life and I really only had these two animals to rely on, it probably got to a point where, you know, my bond with them was stronger than a trainer who is getting ready to release his cats should have had.
We mentioned at the beginning your Animal Planet's large predator expert. How'd you get involved in this field?
You know, it was actually it was beginning stages with this project. I was a zoologist, and after I sort of started getting towards, you know, academia, I recognized that I was spending more time on a computer than I was with animals. So then I became an animal trainer. The animal training was good, but, you know, really didn't sort of fill my soul as much as I wished it would. And when I had this opportunity to do this conservation project, I took Ron and Julie out to Africa, and a lot of the funding for this project came in the documentary making of it. So I was sort of thrust into the field. It was a means of paying for the conservation that I really believed in. And as I got into the field, I sort of recognized that, oh, wow, this is actually a great way to do conservation. So I've been, you know, a host for Animal Planet ever since.
Well, Animal Planet obviously has decided that, you know, tigers are a compelling subject to dedicate an entire week to them, Tiger Week. Why do you think tigers are so compelling to people?
You know, I guess I can't say for sure why everybody thinks they're compelling. To me, I think they're obviously beautiful. They are definitely, they'll draw on your heartstrings if you look them in the eye. But I think on the other hand, with that beauty comes that great power, you know. You know that they're beautiful when they're sitting there licking themselves or grooming a cub or something. And then within a second, if one of their prey walks by, they become probably the best killing machine that's on our planet right now. I always say that, you know, on land, it's the tiger is the number one predator, and in the water, it's the great white shark. So it's interesting that people are drawing conclusions from Shark Week to Tiger Week because, you know, they are the top predators. And I think there is something in people that, you know, like the sort of exchange between the ultimate beauty and the ultimate power.
Tell us about the state of the tiger today. Is there any room for complacency at this point in time?
You know, if complacency is definitely going to be what's going to wipe this animal out. I don't think there's many people on this planet that really want this animal off the earth. But, yeah, you know, in our lifetime, you know, some people have said, as soon as 10 years from now, we won't have any wild tigers. Excuse me. You know, if in the next 10 years nothing is done, then yeah, they will get wiped out. There are some good projects out there that are doing some good, and if they gain momentum, we will have tigers around for 20 years, let's say. But definitely there's some big changes that need to be made because we are losing this animal. And in our lifetime, this animal will be wiped off the face of the earth in the wild if we don't do something.
And so for our listeners and, of course, Animal Planet viewers, what can we do to help save the tigers?
You know, there's tons of things depending on what type of person you are. I get this question all the time. And, you know, you could, if you have, you know, the guts and the gumption to want to go and, you know, take a flight out to Asia, I'm sure there's a million places that need manpower. And if you're a guy that, you know, got a family, you really can't leave your life, you know, maybe you have a financial something to offer, you know, then go on the internet, go find a project that is doing what you believe in and what you think is right and help them out financially. Or maybe you're an accountant, maybe you're a lawyer, Tiger Conservation Projects need all of those things. You know, without you know, accounting, the conservation project doesn't go. Without, you know, the legal documents, the conservation project doesn't go. Without the public awareness, you know, there are a million things that you can do. Whatever skill you have and you want to apply it to tiger conservation, go out there, find the project that you like, the one that you believe in, and the one that you think these people are doing some good, and you get a hold of them and say, look, I have these skills. Do you need them in any way? And I guarantee you, people will start to stand up and go, wow, yeah, I do need that.
Can you tell us maybe a cool little-known fact or two about tigers that you've come across over the years?
Well, as an initial thing with tigers, I always explain to people how to greet a tiger. If you go to the zoo or you go and happen to be face-to-face with a wild tiger, I'm telling you, the best thing you can learn is what's called the chuff. And a chuff is a greeting. It's how tigers greet you. And if you make this noise, and it's just blowing air out your nose and mouth to make that noise that you heard, and that means, hey, how are you? I mean you no harm. And it's also a question. What about you? And if the tiger chuffs back at you, it means, hey, how are you? I'm not going to eat you either. So, you know, that's an important first step when you're getting into hanging out with tigers. And then after that, you know, these guys have got, you know, a million different things that are super cool. You know, as far as, you know, reading their behavior, watching the animal. The funny thing that you'll notice, and you'll even notice this with your domestic cat, if he starts to get focused on something and his whiskers are forward, you can be pretty sure that he's going to go for it. You know, if he's telling you he's really liking something and his whiskers are forward, then he really likes it. It's sort of, you can measure the intensity of an emotion from a tiger just by the angle of his whiskers, and it's something that is so simple but people don't pick up on. So even try it with your cat at home. If he's angry, he'll be really angry when the whiskers are forward. And if he's, you know, happy, he'll be really happy when the whiskers are forward. So I think it's a neat thing that people can look at and say, wow, I'm actually learning how to read the behavior of these animals.
That's good to know. All right. We have a few more questions here, then we'll let you go. Tell us your best, I guess, sort of like a fish story, your best tiger story.
Jeez, you know, I think I've spent so many years now with tigers. I've got so many of my favorites. You know, everybody always likes the attack stories. I definitely got the first time I was underneath a tiger, I was sitting there next to a tree. There was a tiger sort of scratching his claws on the tree, and unfortunately I was talking to someone instead of paying attention to the tiger, which is a big tiger trainer no-no, and the tiger jumped off the tree onto me. And, you know, just from all my training and all my play wrestling with the cats, I knew the first thing I had to worry about was those teeth. The teeth are going to kill you. The claws will just hurt you. I went and blocked those teeth right away, got right underneath him, and then, you know, went straight into my training of how to get the big guy off. But, you know, it's a good wake-up call. It's a good recognition of do not get complacent around these guys. So that was sort of my, you know, that's one of my favorite, hey, these guys are real, you know, real killers stories. But then, you know, my favorite stories are just the times when, you know, you can take an animal and go out for a walk together and you just go and sit and chill out. And I remember the first time I ever went swimming with a tiger. You always see them on TV, or you know that they like water, and it's weird for a big cat to like water. And I remember the very first time I went swimming with a cat. It was actually Ron from Living with Tigers. And we went in the river together, and, you know, just that kind of play is just, it's an experience that is really hard to describe, but it really consumes you. It's a fantastic experience, and probably one of my favorite moments with a tiger.
All right. Well, one more question here, an all-important question. Who would win in a fight, a lion or a tiger?
You know, I get that all the time, and the tiger guys are going to hate me for saying it. And, you know, it is Tiger Week. I should say, you know, the Siberian tiger has got 100 pounds to 150 pounds on the big male lion, and usually that size should mean the tiger is going to win, but I don't think that's the case. You know what? A male lion, their only job really is to be a good fighter. If they're not that good a hunter, they'll still eat from the girls. If they're, you know, their only skill in the pride is to fight, and they're more aggressive. They like to fight more. They're more practiced at it. So I'd have to give it, if in a general sense, to the lion. But that said, you know, it's funny that when you're working with the lions, a lion will come fight you for any reason, and you can get him to stop fighting you very easily, or not very easily, but you know, you can get him off you with little accord. But when a tiger decides he's going to kill you, there's nothing you can do. You'll never change that tiger's mind. He is going to kill you. So although I think I'd give the edge to the lion, I don't think I'd want to be in a fight anytime soon with either of them.
All right. Dave Salmoni, Animal Planet's large predator expert and also host of Tiger Week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Will.
And a reminder, the Tiger Week kicks off Sunday, November 4th, with a never-before-seen version of Living with Tigers. If you happen to miss Living with Tigers on Sunday, it runs once more on Wednesday, November 7th at 8 p.m. To learn more about Tiger Week, Living with Tigers, and tigers in general, visit our website at animalplanet.com/tigerweek.